Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining with us today on Let's Face the Issues broadcast. It's always our delight to have you on board with us as we discuss the issues. And may I remind us again that as we discuss and face issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's not based on philosophical rhetoric or rites and rituals and rules of a denominational dogma of some type. It's simply what does the Word of God say. So I pray that you stay tuned each day with the idea of finding answers to the issues that you're faced with and issues that our society is generally faced with day to day, because we all are faced with a variety of issues. Depends on what day, what issue, if you will, but we all are faced with issues. And I find that the greatest joy, blessing, encouragement, and hope that I can find is through the Word of God. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." A lot of people misinterpret that by just simply saying, "Well, you know, the truth shall make you free." Well, what is the truth that it's speaking of? What is Jesus speaking of? He said, "If you continue in my word," that's the Word of God, "then you're my disciples indeed." The word indeed means truly, surely. "And you shall know the truth," that is the truth of Word of God. "And the truth," the Word of God, "shall make you free." And then in John 17:17, Jesus says, "Thy word is truth." And so, ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand that we do not have the answers in and of ourselves. But if you look at the Word of God, God's word gives us the truth. It is the truth, and it is the guide point that we should use in our lives. I've said many, many years there's a need for Christians to know the Word, to know the Word, to hide the Word of God in our hearts, to believe the Word, to meditate on the Word, to allow the Word of God to direct our footsteps. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about today the subject that perhaps is pretty concise and yet pretty simplistic when you think on it, and yet it is very profound. Who is Jesus Christ? Who is He? We're in the Christmas season, celebrating Christmas, and yet the overwhelming majority of society today do not recognize and realize who Jesus Christ really is. This is Christmas, and perhaps more than at any other Christmas season that I can recall in my lifetime, the question that must be asked for all of the world to hear and to see and to respond to is the question, who is Jesus Christ? Back a number of years ago, there was an organizational structure that was called the Jesus Seminars, led by Dr. Robert Price, and they would meet once a year, and they did for 10 years, a group of so-called biblical scholars, and they would sit down and labor through every word in the Scripture that supposedly Jesus spoke. And their thought was, their idea, their philosophy, their goal was to ascertain, did Jesus really make those statements? Did Jesus really say this or say that? And the end result, Dr. Robert Price, leading the Jesus Seminars group, said that Jesus is only a mythical deity, a mythical deity. But ladies and gentlemen, when you go to the Word of God, we find that Simon Peter made the greatest declaration ever heard or ever voiced from the tongue of man. I'm going to read those few verses. Matthew's Gospel, the 16th chapter. I believe it's important for us to understand it. when Jesus, beginning with verse 13 in Matthew's Gospel, the 16th chapter, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, and others Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And ladies and gentlemen, when you study the balance of that unit of thought, you find that it is the declaration of faith in Jesus Christ, which is the fundamental foundation stone for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The church is built on Simon Peter's declaration of faith in Jesus Christ. Now, there's a whole another Bible study there where some say that it's talking about the church is built on Jesus, and the Catholics say that Jesus was the first pope, and I mean that Peter was the first pope, and therefore the church is built on Peter. That is simply untrue. That is not what the Word of God is saying. Simon Peter is simply responding to Jesus' question. Simon Peter makes the declaration, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then further, Jesus says the church is going to be built on Simon Peter's declaration of his faith, his declaration of trust. Ladies and gentlemen, yet in modern culture today, in what I call so-called enlightened society, we still have those who say that Jesus was a man. He was a good teacher. He was a good example. He's a good example to live by. And yet we continue today, ladies and gentlemen, to come face to face with what is the truth of the Word of God. Let me read you a blurb or two from an article. It says, "Who do Americans believe that Jesus is?" It states here one of the things: the vast majority of Americans believe that Jesus was a real person. In the article, it says more than 9 out of 10 adults say that Jesus Christ was a real person who actually lived. 92% say that. While the percentage dipped slightly among younger generations, only 87% of the millennials say that Jesus Christ actually lived. Here's a little further essence. This, by the way, is from the Barner Report, ladies and gentlemen, on the question of who do Americans say that Jesus is. The younger generations, this report says, are increasingly less likely to believe that Jesus was God. The historicity of Jesus may not be in question for most Americans, but people are much less confident in the divinity of Jesus. Most adults, not quite 6 in 10, believe that Jesus was God. 56%, ladies and gentlemen, only 56% of American adults, believe that Jesus Christ was truly God. This article further says, while a quarter say that he was only a religious or spiritual leader like Muhammad or Buddha, 26% say that. The remaining 1 in 6 say that they aren't sure whether Jesus was divine or not, 18%. Here's something that's interesting, ladies and gentlemen. Millennials are the only generation among whom fewer than half believe that Jesus was God. 48% of the millennials believe that Jesus Christ was God. Ladies and gentlemen, that ought not to surprise us. The millennials, the 18 to 35-year-old age group, only 4% of that group have a biblical worldview. And out of that 4%, 57% believe that it's okay to smoke pot, believe that it's okay to have a homosexual relationship, believe that homosexual marriages are okay, believe that lying if needed is okay, et cetera, et cetera. Ladies and gentlemen, about one-third of the young adults, 35%, say that instead that Jesus was merely a religious or spiritual leader, while 17% say they aren't really sure. Now, here's the crux of the whole matter, and I'm still picking up some points from the Barner Report. It says Americans are divided on whether Jesus was sinless, perhaps reflective of their question about Jesus' divinity. Americans are conflicted on whether Jesus committed sins during his earthly lifetime. About half of Americans agree, either strongly or somewhat, that while he lived on earth, listen, Jesus Christ was human and committed sins just like any other human. 56% of American adults say that. Just less than half disagree, either strongly or somewhat, that Jesus committed sins while on earth, 46%, and 2% aren't really sure. similar to other trends in the perceptions of Jesus, the millennials are more likely to believe that Jesus committed sins while here on earth. 56% of the millennials say that Jesus Christ was a sinner, just like others living on the earth today. Ladies and gentlemen, I find that not only distressing, but it also gives us a little insight as to why our nation is going so secularistic in the 21st century. It explains why we are plummeting at a rapid pace in America from the standpoint of spirituality. What is it about Jesus? Some say that he's a myth. Some say that he's just a man. But ladies and gentlemen, I believe that he is Yeshua, Messiah, Savior, Lord. I believe that according to Colossians 2 and verse 9, Jesus Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Just think, if Jesus Christ had never come into this world, there'd be no such thing as Christians. There'd be no such thing as Christmas. There'd be no such thing as the church. There'd be no such thing as looking forward to his coming again. Ladies and gentlemen, we must realize that Jesus did not just begin to exist at Bethlehem some 2,000 plus years ago, but Jesus Christ always has been. Jesus Christ's birth over 2,000 years ago was not the beginning of the existence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why is that important, ladies and gentlemen? Simply because if Jesus Christ just began to exist some 2,000 plus years ago in Bethlehem, and multitudes today, even as adults and professing Christians in America, will worship the nativity scene, will worship the babe in Bethlehem, will want to cuddle and cuddle that little infant in Bethlehem, but at the same time say that Jesus could have sinned, say that Jesus was a mere man, question whether or not Jesus was fully God and fully man, question whether or not Jesus Christ existed throughout all of eternity. Ladies and gentlemen, a child is born in a stable. His name is Jesus, some 2,000 years ago. He's the only babe in all of history, ladies and gentlemen, who caused the king to fear. King Herod shook when he heard about the babe in Bethlehem. A babe's power, ladies and gentlemen, as the babe in Bethlehem, is visible even today because Jesus Christ is no longer that babe in Bethlehem. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus grew up as a carpenter's son. He never went to college. He never got married. He never commanded an army. He never received the applause of man. Jesus never owned a home. Jesus never committed sin. The scripture says, in fact, he's high, holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. He died as a criminal on the cross at the age of 33. He changed all of history. The calendar changed forever, ladies and gentlemen, at the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ rose again after the third day. We sang that old song at Easter time, up from the grave he arose. He arose having victory over his foes. Ladies and gentlemen, he ascended into heaven, according to Acts chapter 1, verse 8 through 11. And one day he's coming again. And ladies and gentlemen, when he comes again, he'll come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. His name is Jesus Christ. And I want us to understand, it has been said that one of the greatest areas of spiritual neglect in the church today is the understanding of who Jesus Christ is. Ladies and gentlemen, if I were to ask you the question, who is Jesus, what would you say? If I were to ask you, is Jesus 100% God or 100% man? Is Jesus 50% God or 50% man? What would you say? I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ has power. He changed all of history, and Jesus Christ has proven that he is God throughout all of Scripture. But ladies and gentlemen, there's not an area in biblical theological studies that there is a need for having a greater understanding than in what is called the subject of Christology. Who is Jesus Christ? Ladies and gentlemen, may I remind us this, history has proven that no body of believers will rise any higher in surrender or service than their concept of who Jesus Christ is. It is therefore essential, not optional, that we look more closely to that person that is called Jesus and determine who is Jesus Christ. Is he a babe in Bethlehem? Is he simply a mere man? Is he a myth? Is he a liar? Is he a lunatic? Or is he Lord of Lords and King of Kings. I want to think, first of all, ladies and gentlemen, on the subject, when we think about who is Jesus, the preexistence of Jesus that's recorded in Scripture. And I'm not turning to these, for the most part, to order the Scriptures. Time won't allow us to do an in-depth Bible study. I'm simply wanting to do a study today about who is Jesus and point out to us that Jesus Christ always has been, that Jesus Christ existed from the beginning of the world. Jesus Christ was in existence before the foundation of the world. We live in a world where some say, even some Christian believers, that Jesus Christ's existence began back in Bethlehem, just a little over 2,000 years ago now. Our existence began, ladies and gentlemen, from the human standpoint, when we were born, when we were birthed, when we came into the world. But Jesus Christ always has been. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll remind you again on the Barna Report, it reminds us that only about 9% believe that Jesus Christ has always been. Only about 9% have the biblical worldview that Jesus Christ is one that preexisted. Ladies and gentlemen, when I keep talking about a biblical worldview, it's vital that we understand what does that mean. It means that everything that we look at, everything that we say, everything that we do is from a biblical perspective. What does the Word of God say? But I want us to understand the preexistence of Jesus Christ is pronounced in the Scripture. In Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, that's the little Old Testament text, just a few Bible books before you get to the New Testament books of Matthew and following. But in Micah 5, 2, which by the way, ladies and gentlemen, was a prophetic text some 700 plus years before the birth of Jesus, says, speaking of Jesus, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting. That from everlasting literally means from eternity past. In Isaiah 9:6, Jesus is called the everlasting Father. The everlasting Father, that means the Father of all of eternity. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, in John chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 and verse 14, it says, in the beginning, and it's talking about the little Hebrew word there, the Greek word archaia, in the beginning, in the back and back and back before time began, Jesus Christ was. And this is the reason in John's Gospel, the 17th chapter, and verse 5 and verse 24, it says, and now, O Father, this is the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus. He's praying before he ascends back into glory. Jesus says, and now, O Father, glorify me with thine own self, with the glory, that is the word doxa, the beauty and the grandeur and the greatness which I had with thee before the world began. And then in the 24th verse of that same chapter, Jesus says, Father, I will that thou also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ existed before the world began. And we also need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that Jesus Christ, when you look at John 1, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4, Jesus Christ is the Creator. When you look at Colossians 1, verse 13 through 17, we realize that everything that exists, visible and invisible, everything in heaven and everything above the heavens and everything under the heavens and everything upon the earth and everything under the earth, the Scripture says, all created by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I beg to ask you the question, if Jesus Christ just simply began at Bethlehem, how is he creator of all of the world? Because when you look at Genesis 1 and 2, the creation story, Jesus Christ was the one that was doing the creating, according to my scripture. When you study the scripture, you see in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In Genesis 1:1, the God that created the heavens and the earth is none other than Jesus Christ. In fact, not only his preexistence is pronounced in the scripture, but ladies and gentlemen, his preexistence is proclaimed. Jesus himself claims to have preexisted before Bethlehem. Jesus, speaking to his detractors and all of those that were the naysayers of his day, Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is proclaiming himself to be before, pros, in front of, in existence before Abraham was. In fact, when he says, before Abraham was, I am, the word I am is the name of God. You can go back to Exodus chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, where Moses says, who should I tell them that has sent me? And God said to Moses, tell them, I am that I am, hath sent thee. Ladies and gentlemen, when Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am, Jesus was making a declaration of his deity and his preexistence before the world began. I am denotes an absolute eternal existence. It is Jesus Christ that is claiming to be, and rightly so, to be Yahweh. He is claiming to be the Yahweh of the Old Testament. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't worship a babe in Bethlehem anymore. We worship the Lamb of God that was slain from before the foundation of the world. We should praise him and thank him that he loved us enough and he loved us first, that he came into this world as the in the form of man, according to Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through verse 11. He took upon himself. That's an addition, not a diminishing. That's an addition, not a detraction. That's an addition, not a subtraction. Where Jesus took upon himself the form, the morphe, the outward appearance, the shell, the humanity of man. But ladies and gentlemen, it was 100% God shrouded in that humanity. Ladies and gentlemen, I failed to remind you a moment ago, if you want to join in this discussion, ask a question. Be delighted to respond to it. Question, who is Jesus Christ? Perhaps you have a serious question about who Jesus is. Perhaps you doubt what the Word of God says. Love to talk with you today. 401-1413 gets you straight through to the studios, right to our microphones, that we can have that dialogue and discussion. Ladies and gentlemen, the preexistence of Jesus Christ is recorded in the Scripture. If Jesus Christ is not God, 100% God, if Jesus Christ came into this world simply as a human being by a normal birth, then not one drop of his blood would be efficacious, that is, beneficial for salvation of a single soul. Nevertheless, because he is God, his shed blood on Calvary is sufficient for the sins of the whole world. Ladies and gentlemen, we also want to understand not only the preexistence of Jesus is recorded, his preexistence is pronounced and it's proclaimed, but I want us to understand the prophecies of Jesus is also recalled in the Scripture. Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, there's over 330 prophecies concerning the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? 330 prophecies about the first coming. And all of those prophecies, ladies and gentlemen, were fulfilled exactly as the prophecies said it would be about his first coming. So that gives us confidence, ladies and gentlemen, in all of the prophecies throughout all of the Scripture, pointing to and talking about and illustrating his second coming. If all of those prophecies of his first coming were real, and they were, if they were fulfilled, and they were, then why should we doubt? Why should we question? Why shouldn't we believe, ladies and gentlemen, every word in the Scripture? But ladies and gentlemen, the prophecy of the birthplace of the Lord Jesus Christ was fully fulfilled. Fulfilled in Matthew 2:1, where the Scripture says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea." Ladies and gentlemen, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is prophesied in the Micah text, Micah 5:2, the Old Testament text. It was fulfilled in the Scripture. And you can find that further fulfillment, ladies and gentlemen, in Luke's Gospel, the second chapter, the first five verses, because it was in Bethlehem where Mary and Joseph had gone. They'd gone back there to be registered for taxation. And as a result of going, and she was already expecting, and she delivered her firstborn son and wrapped him. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes, the Scripture says, and he was laid in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn, the Scripture says. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus' birth pattern was that he would be born of a virgin. In Isaiah 7:14, it says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us." Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about answering the question, who is Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. Jesus Christ is creator, controller of the universe. Jesus Christ is God. He is the only God. It is not Muhammad, it is not Allah, it's not Confucius, it's not Buddha, God forbid. It is Jesus Christ. He is the God that we serve today. It is God with us when we say Jesus Christ is born of a virgin. Ladies and gentlemen, may I remind us, the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is the most important text in all of the Bible. For if we disavow, if we disallow, if we disagree, if we doubt, if we dis, as the world calls it today, the truth of the virgin birth, we have destroyed the reality of Jesus Christ's divinity. Because, ladies and gentlemen, A normal birth is not unusual. A normal birth is not supernatural. But Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. In fact, in Luke's gospel, it's the wonderful Christmas story of the announcement of the first Christmas when Jesus Christ is announced to Mary. The scripture says in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Mary, the mother of Jesus. But Joseph was not Jesus's father. Jesus Christ was not birthed by the natural conception. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. According to Luke's gospel, the first chapter, the 31st verse, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, the angel Gabriel told Mary, and that which is born of you is of God. It's of the Holy Ghost, the scripture says. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the greatest debates today on the horizon and in the history past of all of Christianity is the debate about the birth of Jesus Christ. Because you can ask any human being, and that's what the Barna Report historically does, is asking the question, who is Jesus, and could he sin? Ladies and gentlemen, the report that I read you earlier in relationship to the number of people that believe that Jesus Christ could have sinned destroys the virgin birth. It absolutely eviscerates the truth of the biblical text about the virgin birth. It's an impossibility for Jesus Christ to sin. Here's this statement again. Perhaps reflective of their question about Jesus' divinity, Americans are conflicted on whether Jesus committed sins during his earthly life. And it goes on to tell us that about 52% of the people believe that Jesus Christ could have and did perhaps commit earthly sins while on earth. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. We've got about 2 minutes to go. Want to get this in. Want you to understand it. Want you to fathom this. The virgin birth is the fact. Jesus Christ was born of the mother, his mother, Mary. Mary supplied the earth suit, if you will. Mary supplied the flesh. This is the reason that Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 and following talks about he took upon himself the form, the morphe, the outward appearance, the shell of man. It's Mary that produced the physicality for Jesus, but it's God's blood flowing in the veins of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, study your scripture when you find in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, and at Calvary, the blood that flowed from the cross of Christ was God's blood, the scripture says. You study Leviticus chapter 17, in particular verse 11, it tells us that life is in the blood. You studied Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, therefore death had passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We're sinful today, ladies and gentlemen. Sin is in the blood. Life is in the blood. And Jesus Christ had sinless blood because it was God's blood, divine blood. And that embryo in the womb of a mother is supplied, the blood is supplied by the DNA of the father and not of the mother. The mother supplies the flesh, the father supplies the blood. Jesus Christ's blood was the father's blood. Jesus Christ, therefore, is God come in the flesh. Ladies and gentlemen, may I remind us, the Apostle Paul says, I count everything as lost that I may know him, the power of his resurrection. You find the scripture says, when the fullness of time came, God sent his son, made of woman. Notice it didn't say a man, made under the law. Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, is virgin born. Therefore, he is 100% God. He didn't become deity when he died on the cross. He didn't become deity when he was baptized and the Holy Spirit, like a dove, rose up from him at the baptism in the third chapter of Matthew. He didn't simply become deity when he ascended back into heaven. Jesus Christ was born deity, 100% God and 100% man. He could not sin because there was no sin-tainted blood flowing in his veins. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about asking the question, who is Jesus? All of history prior to the birth of Jesus moved toward the event that's prophesied of his birth, and all of history present and all of history future reflects the coming, soon coming, of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of history will be ruled by the coming of Christ when he comes again. Have you said yes to Christ? Do you know him as Savior today? I beg you, I plead with you, I encourage you, I challenge you, say yes to the Christ of Christmas and be saved. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air, even tomorrow, as once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.